Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. It's good to be in church.
Yes.
Thankful for church and thankful for the Word of God. Thankful to get to hear it preach. Thankful to get to hear it sing songs. Praise our Lord. Thankful for His grace every day. Before we get started, I'm going to open this up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, sinners. Lord, but by Your grace, Lord, You allowed us a way to heaven, Lord. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, giving up His life, becoming sin when He knew no sin, shed His blood on it. The old rugged cross, so that we could have a way to heaven. I realize more and more every day how much I don't deserve that free gift that You've given me. Lord, yet Your grace is there every day and allows me to make things right, allows me to walk with You, and allows me to have a personal relationship with my Savior. Lord, thank You for loving me so much that You want to know me personally. Lord, I thank You for this church. Thank You for the people here. Lord, I'm thankful for our pastor and his family. Thankful that we have a place that we can come and gather, the heat on, out of the elements, and we get to hear the Word of God preached right there in our language that we could read it, Lord. Lord, help us never to take that for granted. There may come a time I think of what was spoken in Sunday school, Lord, and think about the people in these other countries that every time they worship You, it's at risk of their life. They have church in the blistering cold or the heat, or whatever it is, Lord, and these people walk miles to come hear Your Word preached, Lord, but yet in America we are spoiled. Not only do we have everything we need, but we have 50 versions of everything we need. Lord, help us to keep that perspective and to realize how blessed we are to have been born, raised, or lived in this country. But Lord, if we don't wake up and we don't come to You and we don't make You the priority, Lord, pretty soon we're going to end up just like these other countries, where we're persecuted, where we're arrested, maybe even killed, just because we love the One who died for us.
Yeah.
Lord, we have to take a stand on this Word, and we have to do it now, Lord, because our time is short. I don't want to get to heaven and realize how many people I left behind, because I was too scared, too nervous, or too stinking selfish to tell them the gospel.
Yeah.
Lord, please make that our heart this morning, to have a burden for the lost.
Yes.
Have a burden for this community, Lord, and have a burden for each other. Lord, we need each other. We need the brethren. I believe that's why You set up the church. We need the preaching. We need that fellowship. We need the support and prayers of each other. Something I realize, the longer I'm saved, is how blessed we are if we even have one person that prays for us. Lord, help each one of us in that room to be that one person. Let's pray for each other, Lord. Help us to pray for each other. Lay each other on our hearts to pray for each other. Lord, we ask as we go forward in this service that the Holy Spirit would meet with each one of us. Lord, we have a personal Savior and You can reach us on a personal level. I pray that You'd speak to hearts. Correct where You need to correct. Lift up where You need to lift up. Lord, just have Your way in this service. Remove any hindrance, any distraction, Lord. Give the pastor liberty to preach what You've laid on his heart. Speak through him, Lord. Lord, hide him behind the cross. Lord, as we sing the songs, Lord, let us not do it as a performance, but Lord, let us do it as a praise to our Savior. Let these words hit our hearts, that they would make our heart tender and ready for the preaching. That's the purpose of this singing, Lord, is to praise you and to get our hearts ready to hear your word. Lord, we ask that you'd make yourself known and present in this service, Lord, but help us to not be the ones that are hindering allowing you to be here with us. Lord, we're going to thank you for what you're going to do in this service and give you all the praise. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would, I'd ask you to please stand with me, if you're able. Turn to page number one. We're going to sing, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Page number one. It's a rough thing to think about. You don't ever want to think about someone dying, but don't ever forget about the price that was paid for your soul. I don't deserve it one bit, I know that for a fact. Pre-salvation, post-salvation, I have failed the Lord a lot. But Jesus Christ died for me. Because of that, I have access to a loving Father. I know that I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, and I also know that every time I mess up, I can go to him with a broken heart, and he forgives me and cleans me up. I'm so thankful for that. If you want to turn over to our next song, page 611, page 611, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Consecrated, Lord, to me.
page 221. I will tell you, I have never sung this song before. I've read the words here. Went over it briefly with Ellie. She was kind enough to play it for me, so I can sort of hope to lead you in this song. Help me out if you know it. If I mess up, forgive me, but I'm going to sing this song out for God's glory, and we're going to learn it together if you haven't sang it as well. Page 221, More Holiness Give Me.
take your Bibles this evening or this morning. Take your Bibles, look at Exodus chapter 28 this morning. Exodus 28, verse number 40. Exodus 28, 40. We're going through a series here, and the Lord's laid upon my heart concerning the temple of God, or the house of God, as it's found in the Old Testament. And by God's grace, we'll try to go through the kings of Judah. But we've started out here in Exodus chapter 28. Before we get into looking at the house of God and the temple of the Lord, starting out with David, because it was upon David's heart to build a house for the Lord. And we'll probably get there this morning, starting with David, but I've got to finish up these two things here in Exodus chapter number 28. And if you look here at Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 40, Moses is getting Aaron and his sons ready for the priest's office. And the Bible says in Exodus 28 verse 40, "And for Aaron's sons thou shalt make coats, and thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make for them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt put them upon Aaron thy brother and his sons with him." And I want you to look at these next three things here concerning Aaron the priest before he could go in and minister before the Lord, for not only for the people but also for himself. It says, "For Aaron and his sons," it says, "thou shalt anoint them and consecrate them and sanctify them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office." Three things here we find before Aaron and his sons can do any ministering, can do any offerings, can do any praise or worship before God, and that's to be anointed, to be consecrated, and to be sanctified. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this morning, dear God. Lord, I thank you for this church, dear Lord. I know Sunday school could have been a little rough, dear God, but Lord, it's done in love. Lord, it's done in love, dear God. But Lord, I pray, Lord, I take these things serious, dear Lord, and I believe you do so as well. Dear God, help us to examine ourselves, Lord. God, if there's someone here this morning that merely just has a profession and no possession, dear God, I pray you'd make it evident to them, Lord. If they just merely repeated some words, but the Holy Ghost never touched or transformed their heart, dear God, I pray you'd make it manifest. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God this morning, the Comforter, would deal in our services this morning, Lord, if someone's loss of sin and righteousness and judgment to come, dear God. I pray for Holy Ghost conviction, Lord. I pray, dear God, you know, if someone here this morning has never trusted the precious Lamb of God and that blood that was shed on Calvary for their sins, God, make it plain, Lord, make it manifest, open their eyes, their ears, and clarity of mind and heart, dear Lord. And Lord, for those of us that are saved this morning, dear God, who have been born again, who have been converted, transformed from darkness to light, dear God, help us to walk in the power of what you've given to us, Lord. Peter says, Lord, we have now been given the ability to be partakers of the divine nature. And Lord, help us, Lord, to not look lightly upon that. God, help us this morning now as we look at your word, lead, guide, and direct. I ask for your wisdom. I ask for your guidance. Lord, that you would be glorified in everything that is said and done. For the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. He says three things here. We looked last week at the first one concerning Aaron and his sons. And Moses said that before they could go in, the Lord also said to them, before they could go in and minister properly, they had to be anointed, and then they had to be sanctified or consecrated, and then sanctified. And brethren, I'm here to tell you this morning, before you can do service for God, the first thing is you have to be anointed. Last week we looked at, the Bible talks about in the New Testament, I'm not going to go over it again this morning, but it talks about the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God, the anointing to where you passed from darkness to light, and you now have the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, now dwelling within you. Do you have the anointing this morning? Have you been saved? Do you have the unction of divine or sanctifying grace? Have you been anointed by the Holy Ghost of God? 2 Corinthians 1 verse 22 through 22 says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Do you have this morning the earnest of the Spirit of God in your hearts? Can you say without a doubt that, listen, Jesus Christ has changed me. He's transformed me. I'm not what I used to be. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Has that occurred in your life? I'm not asking this morning if you've been baptized. I'm not asking this morning if you have church membership. I'm not asking this morning if you've been confirmed. I'm not asking this morning if you've been sprinkled when you were a little baby. I'm asking you this morning, have you been born again? The Bible says ye must be born again. I'm pointing because it's right there as you walk out this church. George Whitefield, they often would say to him, they said, Mr. George, why do you keep preaching ye must be born again? Because I guess he used to preach everywhere and say ye must be born again. And someone come to him and say, George, Mr. George, why do you always preach ye must be born again? And he said, because ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I'm afraid in our churches today we just have a mere profession and no possession. We have the right words. We know the right things to say. We got some character. We're not a murderer. We're not a thief. We're not a rapist. We're not a child molester. Everything's good because we're pretty clean in our own eyes. But when we're measured up to the commandments of a holy God, we're filthy, we're wicked, and we're undone. And Jesus Christ's blood can wash away your sins. He can cleanse your conscience, and He can make you a new creature in Him. Are you a lamb this morning? Or if you're a man, are you still a dog? And if you're a woman, are you still a sow? Have you been anointed? Has Christ Jesus transformed your life? The next question is, if you say, preacher, yes, I've been saved. I know I'm saved. I know God transformed me. I know God changed me. I'm not what I used to be. Then my question to you this morning, brethren, as a saved individual, are you consecrated? Are you consecrated? Do you desire to be devoted to the work of the Lord for His will in your life? Do you have a desire this morning for the will of God to be accomplished in your life? I don't care if you're 85 years old. Do you desire the will of God in your life with the remaining days that you have? I was talking to my wife this week. Gina Fry sent out a prayer letter. Somebody put it up over there. I was reading it. And she's saying what a blessing it was that two ladies from the United States came over there and helped her out with the school she's got going on over there and the work she's trying to do with those children and those church brethren. And I thought about, what if a woman here that's may say, well, I'm 65, I'm 70, I'm done. God's, what if God would call you to go over there and help Gina Fry? I'm too old for that. Can you still walk? Can you still talk? Do you have ears? What if the Holy Spirit pricked your heart and worked upon your heart to take a trip to go help one of these young ladies out? Well, I'm too old for that. You're not too old till you're in the grave and you can't move no more. You see, I think sometimes we put God in a box and we say God can only work during this portion right here and He can't do nothing after this age. What if God in here called somebody to mission field? Do you desire to be consecrated? Do you desire for God to have His complete will in your life? Or would you rather just continue on in your own way and thinking? Listen to me this morning about the definition of the word consecration. It means to make or declare to be sacred by certain ceremonies or rites. It's consecrate means to be to appropriate to sacred use. Brethren, do you realize this morning, if you're saved and the Holy Spirit of God dwells in you, the Lord desires for you to be consecrated for His use, for His purposes, just like that high priest in the Old Testament was to be consecrated for the duties he had to do as a high priest. Brethren, I think sometimes we take lightly what we have in Jesus Christ. We have a thousandfold, it can't even be computed what we have more than what that high priest had. Consecrated, set apart, consecrated, declared to be sacred. It also means this, to set apart, to dedicate, to devote to the service and worship of God. I'm afraid to tell you this morning, and we're going to get into it next week, Lord willing, in the Sunday school hour, during Cain and Abel there. Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. His offering was not accepted before God because it wasn't brought in the right way. We're going to look at all that next week. But I'm afraid a lot of Christians today, they come and they offer up what they believe are sacrifices that God will receive, when in reality God wants nothing to do with them because, number one, they've never been anointed. Number two, that those offerings aren't consecrated. They're not a holy offering. You see, God will only accept a holy, perfect offering. If there's a blemish in it, the Lord can have nothing to do with it. The offerings that we offer up to God, they need to be consecrated. They need to be set apart. We better make sure that what we're offering up to God is sacred and holy because He's a holy God. I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, that the only way to offer up a sacrifice, or the only way to offer up a consecrated, acceptable sacrifice to God is through the blood. Take your Bible, look at Exodus chapter 29, and look at verse number 19. Exodus chapter 29, and look with me this morning at verse number 19. Exodus chapter 29 and verse 19. We're looking here at consecration this morning. Exodus 29, verse 19. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. So get the picture of it this morning. The Bible says here for their consecration, they had to bring that ram, and Aaron and his sons had to put their hands on the head of that ram. Then the Bible says in verse 20, then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of thy right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him. And he shall be hallowed, and his garments and his sons' garments with him. There is a process here for their consecration. They had to put their hands on the head of that ram, and then they had to kill that ram. That blood started flowing, and Moses was take that blood. And he took that blood and he put it on the tip of their ear. And then he took that blood and he put it on the tip of their right hand, or their thumb of their right hand. And then he took that blood and he put it on the tip of the right toe, on the right foot. Why? For consecration. My question this morning is, what you hear, what you allow to come into your ears, is it consecrated before God? Are your hands consecrated for the work of God? Are your feet and your walk with God consecrated for His worship and His glory this morning? How are those things? How is our worship consecrated? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Has the blood been applied to your life? There's too many Christians today listening to things they ought not to be listening to. And they're defiling their ears. There's too many Christians that are taking these hands that they got and are doing things they ought not to be doing with their hands, and thus defiling their hands as they maybe try to offer up a sacrifice unto God. And there's too many Christians that are taking their feet and they're going to places they ought not to go, thus defiling their consecration before God. What are you watching on that computer screen? What are you looking on at that cell phone? Is it pornography? Are you looking at things you ought not to be looking at? I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, we take lightly coming to church, I believe, and I clue myself in. I clue myself up. I'll be first in the line. I'll be the first in line as a pastor. But we as Christians today, we just think if we just come and we just sing that God will hear our prayers and God will accept our worship, and God, not if we're not consecrated. Well, I know Jesus. Not if you're not consecrated. You might be saved, but He ain't accepting that sacrifice. They had to be consecrated by the blood of that ram. Their ear, the right ear, the right thumb, and their right toe. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 5. Take your Bible, look over there this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 5. talking about consecration this morning. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want you to look at verse number 5. Are you willing to live a consecrated life? Are you willing to live a life that is separated from this world? 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5. The gold of the things of gold, these are things that they're bringing for the temple that's to be built. And the Bible says here in 1 Chronicles 29, verse 5, it says, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and for all the manner of the work to be made by the hands of the artificers. Look what it says. And who then is willing? I ask you this morning. And then who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I ask Ray Street Baptist Church this morning, the members that are here this morning, the visitors that are here this morning, are you willing to be consecrated for the service of God this morning? Are you willing to allow God to work in your life, to purge you, to prune you, to do what is needed that you can then live a consecrated life that brings glory and honor to your precious Savior? The question was asked there when they're getting ready to build that temple. They're getting ready to put together the service of God. They're bringing the materials together. And this question is asked. And who then is willing this morning? And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Consecration to the Lord requires sacrifice and thanksgiving. Take your Bible, look at 2 Chronicles chapter 29. Consecration requires sacrifice and thanksgiving. 2 Chronicles 29, look at verse number 31. 2 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse number 31. Now, it's interesting here. This is in the days of Hezekiah. Hezekiah is trying to get things right. Hezekiah's heart's after God. And I want to just take a little rabbit trail here for a second. Is that when Hezekiah came in and started cleaning house and trying to get things back to the way they used to be, he had gainsayers coming in saying, Hezekiah is taking away the true worship of God, when in reality, he was bringing in the right worship of God. I'll say that again. When Hezekiah came in and started purging some things in the house of God and started taking some things out of the house of God that were brought there, and we're going to get to Hezekiah someday in the future as we go through this study, they had brought false idols into the temple. They would burn incense upon those false idols inside the temple of God. And the people had gotten so used to it that they thought that was the proper way to worship God. But Hezekiah comes on the scene and he says, no, 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 no. In the book of the law, this is sin. This isn't right. This ought not to be in the temple of God. And he started to remove it out of the temple of God. And gainsayers coming in saying to the people, look at Hezekiah. He's taken away the true worship of God. And wouldn't you know what's happening today? You get true Bible-believing preachers and you're going to get crowds out there to say, he's taken away the true worship of God. He don't really love God. Does he really love Jesus? When in reality, he loves Jesus and you don't. Because you're worshiping false idols. You let them into the temple of God. And Hezekiah cleaned the house and he says, no, no, there's only one way to worship God. And that's through the blood of a lamb. Consecration, sacrifice, and thanksgiving is the means of consecration. Look at 2 Chronicles 29, verse 31. This is Hezekiah here. It says here in 2 Chronicles 29 and verse 31, then Hezekiah answered and said, now ye have consecrated yourselves unto the Lord. Come near, look what he says. Come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord. And the congregation brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a free heart, burnt offerings. Do you see Ray Street Baptist Church? God desires as we come into this house of God. Now I know somebody, well, the house is God. You know what I'm saying. This is also, I believe, the house of God. And I believe we ought to take care of this building. Brother, I want to get these floors redone. I want to put some fresh paint up in here. Why? Because this is where we meet and where we worship God. Sometimes we got more care and concern for our own homes than we do for the house of God. God help us, brethren, when we put more emphasis on our own homes, on our own cars, on our own life than we do the things of God. God help us. Well, preacher, that's just the way it's always been. No, I got some ideas for Ray Street Baptist Church. And I understand balance. I get balance. But how much longer do we got? And it's a shame if we let the house of God, this house, this building, go to pieces and we're worried about our own house. Brethren, read Malachi, read Micah, read Haggai, read Nehemiah, read Esther, read Ezra. We've gotten too comfortable. Consecration comes from sacrifice and thank offerings. I'm ashamed to say this morning, brethren, I have not been to the point in my life where I've had to sacrifice anything. Well, I will say this. I do believe it was a sacrifice to come up here. Because I don't get to see my sons. Brethren, you better be careful what you, and I'll just say this nicely, I'll be nice. You better be careful from this point forward in all of y'all's lives. You better be careful the words you put out. Because the words you put out might just be the last straw on the camel's back that breaks it. I said it in Sunday school. We're nitpicking. Some of you here, you're nitpicking. You're nitpicking. You're complaining. You're unthankful. You're unholy. You're ungrateful. The preacher this, the preacher that, the preacher this, like a bunch of three-year-olds. I love Jesus. I love Jesus. Brethren, I'm afraid someday, and by God's grace, I'm going to help this church, that I believe someday some Christians are going to have a rude awakening when they cross over to the other side. They're going to have a rude awakening. Are you willing to be consecrated? But consecration requires sacrifice. You know, the whole time I was driving up here to come up to Ray Street Baptist Church in that U-Haul, almost a couple hours, I was crying saying, Lord, I'm going to miss my sons. But I'm going to come up here, God. I miss my boys. For 23 years, they were with me every day and everywhere I went. My sons were there with me and helping me. And then God calls me up here and I got to leave them down there. And then I got people in the church complaining about me. God help you. You get to see your family today if you got a family up here. I don't get to see my boys today and I'm not complaining. But I'm trying to put some things in perspective, brethren. You get to go to your little family function. You get to spend time with your family. My family's down there in South Carolina, and I'm telling you, Brandon, that's all I got because the rest of my family has forsaken me, other than my uncle. And send stuff to the pastor and realize, Lord, I'm just being honest with you this morning. I said, Lord, I'm done. I told some of you brethren here this morning, thank you for letting me call you and just vent. I appreciate it because I was done. I said, Lord, I'm done. I can't do this no more, Lord. I just want to go back. God, I can't handle it no more, Lord. I can't handle this constant complaining, Lord, this constant nitpicking over little tiny things when you got brethren over in the Ukraine freezing to death trying to pray every morning for their country because communism is getting ready to come in. God, help us, Lord. Lord, help us this morning. God, help us. And I'm not complaining this morning. I can't see my sons. I'm just trying to open my heart up to you a little bit so you can see some things. We're too spoiled. We're too ate up with us. It's all about us. Woe is me. Woe is me. Nobody spends no time with me. Nobody talks to me. How about you get out and be friendly? How about you call somebody up? There's a precious sister in this church that sends out letters, and God bless her for it. I don't know how many times she's blessed my heart. I got a letter in the mail from this precious sister. She says, Pastor, praying for you, and the tears start coming down my eyes. I said, Lord, thank you, dear God, for that letter. God, it was right on time because I needed it. And but no, we're going to be at home. I'd throw this thing. Facebook, Facebook, Facebook. Did you see the preacher did this? Oh, did you see the preacher did that? Oh, the preacher did this? God help us. Get off the cell phones. Get off of Facebook. Get along with God. Brethren, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of Christians. They're more concerned with... That's what's going to happen. Before you know it, you're going to drip right off. And it's going to be too late. Get off the phone. I'm tired of it. Lord, help us. Help us, dear God, to get back to this. To get back to truth. To get back, what does God say? God says you need to be anointed. God says you need to be consecrated. God says you need to be sanctified before you can offer up spiritual sacrifices to me. Brethren, have you been changed this morning? Are you willing this morning to sacrifice some things in your life? Are you willing to sacrifice maybe getting up early and praying? Are you willing to sacrifice maybe some of your income so you can go to missions? Are you willing to come into these doors? And as you come into these doors, as you walk through these doors, you say, God, thank you, Lord, for me. Let me come to church this morning. God, help me to be a blessing to somebody. God, help me. Lord, if there's somebody in this church that needs help this morning, God, help me. Lord, bring them across my path to where I can encourage them for the things of Jesus Christ. Instead of worrying about me, and it's all about me. Start thinking about others and Jesus. God, help us this morning, brethren. God, help us to get back to what that book says. Compassion and mercy and long-suffering and graciousness. God, help us to come through these doors with offerings of sacrifice and praise that we get to serve the God of gods, the creator of all the universe, the precious God who sent his son to become man, who was spit upon, who was beaten, who was mocked for you and for me, who shed his blood, who went to that cross and people mocked him and made fun of him and said, if thou be the son of God, come down from the cross. If you're really who you are, you say, come down from the cross. And he hung there. He put himself there for you. And for me, that my sins can be forgiven, that I can now have eternal life, that I can now be born again and serve God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Consecration requires separation. And sometimes death to areas in our life that are causing us to be a reproach to the Lord. I'll say that again. Consecration requires separation and requires sometimes death to areas in our life that are causing us to be a reproach to the Lord. Take your Bible and look at Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus 32 and verse number 25. The Lord, brethren, I believe the Lord's trying to do something here. I believe God's trying to do something. I believe God's trying to open some eyes. I believe God's trying to work upon some hearts to get back to the basics, to get back to the simplicity which is found in Jesus Christ. Not just mere religion, not just merely having a Bible because it appears to be a good luck charm. If I just have a Bible near my bed, nothing bad will happen to me. That is superstition, that's witchcraft, and that's acting like the Bible's a good luck charm. You need to do the Word of God. You need to be obedient to the Word of God. You need to be faithful to the Word of God and apply it to your life this morning. Are you willing to put some things to death in your life that you know are not right before God? Look at Exodus chapter 32 and verse number 25. Exodus 32 verse 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, and look what Moses said. Who is on the Lord's side? I ask you that question this morning. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel. Brethren, look at the seriousness of this verse. Put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp. Brethren, look what was required, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. And Moses, for Moses had said, look what Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Is there somebody in your life today that you need to spiritually separate yourself from because they're defiling your worship to God? Do you see the seriousness? Moses came back down there. Aaron had made the children of Israel naked because they were worshiping a false god, a calf that they were falling down to worship. They were having a good old time. Moses comes down. He says, who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, come. And the sons of Levi said, we're on the Lord's side. And you know what Moses said? He said, gird you on your sword. Get your sword on. Get your sword on, and then go in and out of the gate, and go in and out of the camp, and slay every man his brother, every man his neighbor, every man his son that was serving that false god. Put him to death. There's some things that we need to put to death in our life because we're spending time with something that's bringing defilement into our worship of God. Now, I'm not saying this morning, if you're living with a, if one of y'all, if somebody in here is married and their spouse is lost, I'm not talking about that type of situation because Corinthians deals with that. I'm talking about willingly spending time with and fellowship with individuals that want nothing to do with God. Eventually, they're going to drag you down. I said this statement Wednesday night. I said, if you can be saved and consistently spend time with people that are lost, and neither one of you are uncomfortable, something's wrong. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. A lost individual ought to be uncomfortable around a true Bible-believing Christian. They ought to be uncomfortable. They ought to be uncomfortable. The sinner ought to be uncomfortable, and the saved individual ought to be uncomfortable, saying, I can't spend time here. This isn't honoring my Savior. This isn't honoring my God. It's bringing defilement, and they need to separate themselves. Consecrated this morning. Are you willing to be consecrated? Lastly, are you willing to be sanctified? Do you desire to be holy? Are you willing to allow God to purge, cleanse, and purify your service to Him? Sanctified means to be made holy. It also means consecrated. They can kind of go hand in hand with each other. Sanctified means, in a general sense, to cleanse, to purify, to make holy. Are you willing this morning to be made holy before God? Are you willing? I'm talking about in the sense of your walk with God. I'm not talking about your standing and your salvation. That's in Jesus Christ. I'm talking about your daily walk with God. Do you desire for it to be holy and pleasing unto Him? I'm not talking about salvation here. Salvation is accomplished in the blood of Jesus Christ. You can't do nothing to earn salvation. There's nothing you can do to merit salvation. It's the grace of God. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then you also are supposed to sanctify your walk with God. Is your walk holy this morning? Do you even desire a holy walk with Jesus Christ? James 4:8 says this, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinner, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Does somebody's hands in here this morning have to be washed? I'm not talking about going back to the woman's bathroom and the men's bathroom downstairs and putting some antibiotic whatever soap on there and cleaning your hands. I'm not talking about that kind of cleaning the hands. I'm talking about hands that have done things that these hands ought not to do. And they need to be cleansed. They need to be washed. James says, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. But then he also says, you need to clean up your hands, ye sinners. You also need to purify your hearts, ye double-minded. John 1 John 3:1 says, behold what man, take your Bible there. 1 John 3:1. 1 John 3:1. If you got a Bible this morning, please flip over to 1 John 3:1. I'm almost done here this morning. Just bear with me a few more minutes. Consecration, anointing, consecrated, sanctified, in order to be able to minister in the service of God. The last thing we're looking at here this morning is sanctification, to be sanctified. Look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, he says here, verse 2, beloved. God's calling out and he says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And look at verse 3 now. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Do you see that? That is something that we ought to desire for God to work in our lives, to where we purify ourselves and our daily walk with him. Why? Because of the love the Father hath bestowed upon us and the privilege to be called a son of God. John 15, 18 says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now, if you got a Bible, flip there for 1 second, because I want to show you something real quick. John 15, I just read it, but I want you to see it with your eyes. John 15, verse 18. John 15, verse number 18. John chapter 15, start verse 17. John 15, 17. These things I command you, Lord Jesus Christ talking to us. He says, these things I command you. This is not an option. This is not a maybe. This is not a, well, maybe I, when I feel like it. This is a command. These things I command you, that ye love one another. Do you see that? That's a command. That's a command from Jesus. Brother, I'm going to try to help some of you out this morning, if you'll listen to what the Lord's trying to say to you this morning. Some of you are spending time with people you ought not to be spending time with. If somebody is living with somebody that's married, that's sin. You ought not to be spending time with them, nor should you be giving heed to the words they're whispering in your ear. Verse 18, if the world hates you, look what it says, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. You see that? Jesus said, if the world hates you, expect it, brethren. Jesus said, listen, if the world hates you, Jesus is saying, listen, he's saying to his disciples, listen, they hated me long before they hated you, so expect it. Now, I'm gonna give you two scenarios. I'm going to put something together here for you. Please hear me this morning. I pray you'd hear me this morning. I'm trying to help you because I love you. You take an individual that's living in sin, that drinks alcohol, that probably sells drugs, that their life is a mess, that they're doing things they ought not to do, yet they say they love Jesus. And then over here you take a preacher who's trying to do right, who's trying to live separated from the world, who's trying to pray every day, who's trying to find the will of God for his life, who's trying to lead the church. Which one are you going to trust? I'm not committing adultery with my wife this morning. I'm faithful to my wife this morning. I ain't committing adultery on my wife this morning. If you come to my house, I ain't got a bottle of Jack Daniels sitting in the cabinet. If you come to my house, I ain't got a case of beer sitting underneath the counter in my kitchen. If you come to my house right now, you're not going to find some porno magazines in my closet. I speak as a fool. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but by God's grace, I'm trying to live right for God today. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And you're going to look and say, the preacher's a hypocrite. No, I'm afraid, my friend, you're the hypocrite. I believe God's trying to give some people some help this morning here. You keep listening to backbiters. They keep whispering in your ear, and you're going to fall away, and it's going to be to your destruction. And I'm praying for you this morning. I love you. Some of you here, you know, I've tried to do what I can for you. And again, I speak as a fool. I'm not trying to boast Chris. I'm just trying to be honest this morning. But if you're spending time with people and they're like, the preacher this and the preacher's so hateful and the preacher this, blah, blah, blah. How about you come talk to the preacher? But no, they're not going to come talk to my preacher because they're wrong and they know it. And that's why they're not going to come talk to me. But they're going to whisper in your ear and you're going to fall prey to their traps as well. I'm trying to help you this morning. You'll go to someone's house and they're sitting on a motorcycle on a poster in the front of their house and they're giving a middle finger to all a caddy. Yet they're right with God and the preacher's wrong. Brethren, I'm not playing games no more. I'll call a spade a spade. I'll call a spade a spade, son. I'll call a spade a spade. You could put up a poster in the front of your house for all caddy to see, and somebody's giving a middle finger and you're right there with them, and you don't think that's wrong? You don't think that's unholy? You think God's approved of that? You see how deluded that individual is? And don't let them draw you astray. Don't let them draw you astray. Don't let them pull you into their trap. I'll call it out as a preacher because it's out in the public. You better stop spending time with that person. Until they get right with God. If they get right with God, I got no problem. But until they get right with God and take some of that filth down and out, uh-uh. I'll be cordial to you, but that's about it. God hates sin. God hates backbiting. God hates whispers. It says, what does the Bible what does the Bible say a whisperer does? It separates chief friends. Look at here this morning. Those of you who are lonely this morning, please hear me this morning. There's some good people in here that you could have good fellowship, godly fellowship with, and that will help you along. But there's also some people in here that come to this church, they're going to draw you astray, and they're going to lead you down the path of destruction. Who's whispering in your ear? Who's whispering in your ear? Is it God? Or is it the devil transforming himself as a minister of righteousness? First Peter chapter 1, verse number 22. Turn there for a moment. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22. The last scripture we'll look at this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 says this, seeing ye have pure, what did 1 John 3 say? Seeing ye have purified your souls in what? In obeying the truth through the Spirit. Unto what, Peter? Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. I believe the first thing the devil's kind of, I'm almost done. I believe the first thing the devil's kind of do to try to destroy a good Bible-believing church is to get the brethren to start hating one another instead of loving one another. Look how much emphasis 1 John puts on love the brethren, love the brethren, love the brethren, love the brethren. Even here, Peter says, love the brethren with unfeigned love. You think that'd be enough? You think it would get in our skulls when he just says, unto unfeigned love of the brethren? But then he goes on and adds another thing on top of it because he knows that our instinct is to hate one another because that's what the devil wants. He wants us to be divided, because a kingdom that's divided cannot stand. And so Satan wants to come into the church. He wants to divide people from people and want to hate this individual, and this individual hates this individual, and I'm not going to talk to them because they're mean, and they didn't shake my hand this week, so they must not like me no more. Try to cause division among the brethren, and the devil brings a division and causes a church to collapse in on itself. Peter says, unfeigned love of the brethren, and then he says, see that ye love one another with a pure heart weakly. Just do it half-heartedly. Just do it one of the services you come to. Just do it when you feel like it. No, with a pure heart, fervently. You want a word study? Do a word study on fervency. And we're to have that kind of love for one another. Fervently. Fervently love one another. You know why? Because there's power in the church when brethren love one another. There's nothing like it. How wonderful and how good is it when brethren dwell together in unity and love for one another, to where when a visitor walks in, they're like, I've never seen anything like this ever before. This world needs to see love, the right kind of love, a fervent, passionate love for Jesus Christ, for His Word, and then for one another. And I believe with that, lives can be transformed. I'll close you with this statement. What would occur today if we fell upon our faces before the Lord of glory in prayer and supplication with a desire for a pure, holy, and separated life for the purpose to do His will with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Oh, what would happen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord, I thank You, dear God, for salvation. Lord, I thank You for this book, dear God. I thank You for the Bible. I thank You, Lord, for opening eyes, Lord. I thank You, Lord, for Your love to me, dear God. I'm unlovable, dear God, but yet You love me. Lord, Your word says You love me, and I thank You for that love. Help me to love You back, and Lord, help my lack of love. God, help the brethren here. Help those that are here this morning, Lord, to examine themselves, to do self-inventory. Lord, help us to live an anointed life. God, help us to live a consecrated and sanctified life for Your service, dear Lord, for Your glory, for Your honor, and for Your praise. Lord, that someday, dear God, someday, either through the rapture or You call us home, Lord, my prayer for this church and myself, dear God, that someday when we cross over into glory, we can hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, help us to live in the light of these things. And Lord, I pray as I close this prayer, dear God, I pray, Lord, You keep the devil away. Lord, I pray You keep the enemy away from coming in and stealing out of the hearts Your word this morning. Lord, Your word says the enemy, quick, come in quick to steal that seed away. Lord, I pray You'd keep the enemy at bay and give clarity of mind and thought to those that may not be saved this morning. Lord, may they think about their souls. Lord, all this, Lord, You receive the glory, honor, and praise. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ellie, can you come up here and play something for me here? I just want to take a few moments for everybody just to take a few seconds here, just spend a few moments in prayer, just to meditate upon what is done. And if God's speaking to your heart, I pray that you would do business with the Lord. And Ellie will just pray here for a few moments. Thank you. Amen. As we close here this morning, I'm going to ask Brother Joe Colwell, can you close us in prayer, brother?
Father in heaven, Lord God, you heard our prayers today, Lord. Father, give us a new heart. Strengthen each our seeds in every day. Take the old out of us, O Lord God, and let the Holy Spirit be our guide. Father, let's major on the major things that we need to do for the will of God. And the things that are just trying to tear us apart, O Lord God, will be moved aside. We have a calling, Lord, that's higher than that. And that's to serve the living God.
Amen.
And that's what we should be doing each and every day. That should be our calling. Not to worry about other little things. If we have things to talk about, we should talk about it as brothers and sisters in the Lord. That we should come together and we should be able to speak to each other in love. May we do that, Lord. Father, please dismiss us now, O Lord God, and bring us back here again in love, Lord. And that we could just look at each other and smile and say, I love you because you're my brother or sister in the Lord.
Amen.
And that's what we should be.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for your pastor that you sent here, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord, and his family. Let them know that we love them very much because, Lord, you sent them here to us.
Amen.
And we should always be thankful for that. We prayed and prayed and prayed for 4 years for a pastor. Now we have him. Father, we should lift him up each and every day.
Yes.
Not try to drag anything down, but lift him up, Lord, before you, because he is going to answer for us, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray, Lord, that we would be faithful, Lord, that he wouldn't have to say anything else but say, I was a good and faithful servant to them folks.
Mm-hmm.
Father, please bless this service once again. As we come back, Lord, let us be faithful and true to you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.
Hey, brother, love you dismissed. We're willing to see you tonight.